Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my arms around being a drum major. I mean, I'm not sure how that works for me. I mean, do I high step in when I come in? Do I got like my head way back? Do I have one of those hats on that's real tall and I can't even get my headphones on? I mean, this whole concept of me high stepping in as a drum major, I'm not 100% sure about. You know, I mean, I like that the band is there, but I don't know that I'm the guy to be the drum major. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I absolutely think you should high step everywhere you go with that big hat on. Absolutely.
See, now I think you're making fun of me. I'm going to go out on a limb here and think, now that's funny. That's a good job by you. I don't want you to feel stunted to do that. I think that a good producer sometimes poke good-natured fun at his host. So that's funny, but I'm not wearing a high hat and I'm not high stuff, and I'm going to leave that to Kevin Rogers from VegasInsider.com, who joins us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. K-Raj, welcome in. How are you, man?
Tom, good to talk to you again.
Can you imagine me in one of them big high hats and like leaning way back and high stepping at 258 pounds? I'm not feeling it.
No, you're going to have to make sure that you get in shape before you do that. You don't want to trip on yourself.
Yeah, I'd have to be in a lot better shape than what I am in right now, I think, to do that. That's for sure. All right, I'm in a lot better shape than the LA Clippers are too. I mean, that deal is all but over. You know, I mean, they just, Utah going in there and getting that one, and I fully expect that they'll finish them off coming up in a couple of more days. You know what I mean? Apparently, they got to walk now back to Utah from Los Angeles because they can't play until Friday night. But when that time comes, I would think that Utah is going to finish off the clip joint, and this may be the end of an era for the Clippers. You know, with Chris Paul aging and Blake Griffin probably, you know, maybe played his last game as a Clipper.
You know, it's funny. You know, you say end of an era. You know, you would think the Bulls, Michael Jordan, they won all those championships. End of an era. Kobe and Shaq. End of an era. What have the Clippers done?
Made the playoffs. They made the playoffs.
What have they really done?
Made the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, for the Clippers,
making the play of being a top eight team in the Western Conference. I mean, for Chris Paul, and again, they still can win two more games in advance, but it's going to be hard without Blake Griffin. But for the Clippers, with Chris Paul never making it to the conference finals in his career, that's a total failure. And I don't care if you have Golden State and San Antonio on your side in the West, because throughout Chris Paul's career, he didn't have Golden State as good as they were all that time. And, you know, for them to be on the verge of losing again, where 2 years ago they had that 3-1 lead against the Rockets that they blew. Last year, I know it was different circumstances against Portland, where both Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got hurt in that series after they went up 2-0, and then the Blazers won the final four. So maybe you can put an asterisk on that one. But, you know, for the Clippers, that, you know, they lose twice at home to Utah, who has not been in the playoffs very much over, you know, the last few years. And for them to go on the road and win twice, pretty impressive. And they had all those guys, you know, Gordon Hayward was sick in game four. He was out, and they still came back and won. That the Clippers just aren't well-constructed. As simple as that. They're trying to go with all these veterans, and they really have no young guys per se. And it's catching up. And, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat as a lot of other people about Doc Rivers. I think he is very overrated. That he did win a championship in Boston, when he got Kevin Garnett in the peak of his career, when he got Ray Allen, you know, the only player that he had there really was just Paul Pierce, and he never won with Paul Pierce before these other guys came in. So it is, in a sense, if you want to call it an end of an era for this, what it is, then yes, it is. But, you know, for the Clippers, it's just another thrown away season, assuming they lose one more time.
Remember 100 years ago when David Stern nixed the trade of Chris Paul to the Lakers? I mean, it just seems like a million years ago. It's like, you know, it's kind of like when SMU got the death penalty in football. It never happens anymore. You never see that anymore. You know, if they were going to do that, they would have killed Kevin Garnett, Durant. Of course, that was a free agent deal. Kevin Durant to the to Golden State. Said, no, you can't go there. But now you wonder about, you know, how something like that might have worked out if Chris Paul would have ended up a Laker.
I will say this, though, on the flip side, that I think it ended up working out for the NBA that trade got killed and he ended up going to the Clippers, because the Clippers were so irrelevant that
right.
Chris Paul, yes, definitely made the Clippers relevant. And the Clippers became more of a national team over the last, you know, 5 years or whatever it's been that he's been in Los Angeles. So that's the one thing I'll say, is that, yes, the Lakers have gone downhill, and, you know, could Chris Paul and Kobe have won a championship? Who knows? But at least they made the Clippers somewhat relevant, which, you know, is always good in the NBA to make, you know, these kind of teams and just get them better and not just have the same old teams over and over that are the only ones people pay attention to. And you look at it, even Golden State, to a certain extent, you know, kind of fell off the map for a few years before, you know, they really came into the forefront of the NBA. So I guess in the end, David Stern making that move, I think, kind of helped things.
Atlanta and Washington tip off at the top of the hour. How crazy is that? They'll be tipping off here shortly. Washington, a 5.5, 6-point favorite in that deal. That has been, you know, much like the San Antonio Memphis deal. The home teams are winning there, as opposed to the other series, Chicago and Boston, where the road teams have won every game. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what do you think about Washington tonight laying about a touchdown against the Atlanta Hawks?
I kind of feel like this is going to be one of those seven-game series where the home team wins every game, that Washington will come back tonight. They played very well in the first two games, and then they're going to Atlanta, and the Hawks had momentum in game three. They jumped out to that huge lead and just sat on the Hawks. The Wizards went up in game four, and then Atlanta came back and beat them. But I think that now going back home, you know, you feel refreshed. You feel refreshed a little bit. And the difference, too, is it wasn't two crushing losses Washington suffered in Atlanta. Atlanta beat them. Simple as that. You know, they didn't lose in overtime. Oh, what? This could have happened. This could have happened. No, they just flat-out lost. So now you can go back home, hit the reset button, and I think that'll work out for the Wizards tonight, where, you know, for Washington, that this is a team that they've never had a lot of big home playoff games in the past, or it's been a very long time. So I think for them, if they can get this one, then they know that they at least have a game seven in their pocket if they lose a game six. But I think that Washington going back home, I think that they'll be in good shape and win.
I just still wish they were the Bullets, because to me, a Wizard is more offensive than a Bullet. I'd rather they be the Washington Bullets, but, you know, they're not. Kevin Rogers with us, VegasInsider.com. All right, any other series that goes tonight? Chicago and Boston. Will a road team win every game? I think that Boston's going to finish off a Yankee sweep, you know, lose two and then win four straight like they did against the Dodgers and the Braves in the World Series back in the day. But, you know, Chicago, no Rajon Rondo. Boston, a pretty fat 7.5, 8-point favorite at home, where the home team has not won a game yet in this deal.
Yeah, and the momentum seems like it's with the Celtics right now, that they lose the first two games, the Isaiah Thomas situation in game one, where his sister was killed in a car accident, and maybe his head wasn't there. And, you know, now you see how important Rajon Rondo is to the Bulls. And with him being out the last two games, they don't look good offensively. And now the Celtics, that they've gotten, you know, their stuff together the last two games, winning on the road, even though they got out to a big lead in game four. Chicago came back, took the lead in the third quarter, but then Boston pulled away. I think now with them coming back home, same thing like with Washington, I think that they, well, I mean, obviously different circumstances, that Boston's coming off two wins and Washington's off two losses. But I think Boston is now trying to win that first home game. I think that it may be asking a lot for this Bulls team to really pull it together and win again on the road for a third time.
All right, let's shift gears, talk a little bit of baseball here. We're now 3 weeks in. We're starting to get some pretty solid trends. You know, what is it that you're seeing right now? Some of these teams that came out of the block a little bit slow, some of the teams that were kind of surprises coming out of the block fast. Are we starting to get our hands around, you know, what's going on with baseball right now?
Well, we're seeing, you know, for one, the Cincinnati Reds, they're not as good as we thought they were. That, you know, we talk about when you start judging these teams, when do you get, you know, take them seriously, where the Reds had a couple nice wins early on, and now Milwaukee's going to sweep them if that game hasn't gone final yet. I think it went final a bit ago, but Milwaukee swept them. So, you know, we know Cincinnati is still kind of a team on the rebuild. You know, you look at the Giants are a complete mess right now, where Madison Bumgarner is out for a while after that dirt bike accident, and the Giants have several injuries. They just can't really get it going, string together a lot of consecutive wins. So I wonder when the Giants are going to come back to life. And then you look in the, you know, in the American League, where the Royals are a complete disaster right now. I think that their window's shut after they went to the World Series two straight years. They won the title against the Mets last year. You know, a bit of a down year, but this year they have no offense. This road trip that they're coming off of getting swept by Texas and the White Sox, it's just embarrassing, and they're not scoring any runs. And I think that that's not going to change. I feel like that's not going to change anytime soon with them. They just can't get anything going from an offensive standpoint. Then you look at, like, the Astros, who are playing the Indians in a pretty important series the next few days. Dallas Keuchel has been great so far after he had the Cy Young year 2 years ago. Last year kind of dropped off, but this year I watched some of that game last night, and he was electric, and he gets the complete game win. For the Astros, they're a team that you have to keep an eye on in the American League behind Cleveland, who I don't know if they're going to be back in the World Series again this year, where Boston, Pedroia's banged up a bit. They're still waiting for David Price to come back, so Boston's still a question mark, but the Astros, they have a very strong lineup, and I think it's a good balance of young guys and veterans, good pitching staff, and I think that they're a team that, you know, could end up representing the American League when it's all said and done.
Yeah, best record in the American League, and playing really well. Baltimore, is that fool's gold there? They're out to a 13-6 start. You know, Yankees behind them, Boston behind the Yankees, and Boston and the Yanks get started with their series after the rainout last night. Presumably they're playing tonight. I haven't seen it. It's been rained out again, or that there's weather there. But what about that Baltimore Oriole team out to a very fast start at 13-6?
I've never loved their starting pitching. I don't think their starting pitching is anything to write home about. Their bullpen's pretty good, but Zach Britton's hurt now. So we'll see whenever he comes back and they, you know, can get that fixed up. But the lineup is obviously very good with, you know, Adam Jones, Chris Davis, and Machado. That it's a very, very skilled team. It's well managed by Buck Showalter. It's just, I don't know how much I trust that starting pitching to really take you far in the playoffs. That's kind of my only concern with them. And you look at that American League East, where Toronto has been horrible so far. They had a nice win at St. Louis last night, extra innings, a game I felt like they were just trying to give away. Mm-hmm. But, Tampa Bay, even though they beat Baltimore last night, we know they're kind of, you know, an average team. And then, like you said, the Yankees and the Red Sox, wherever they get going in this important series. Chris Sale goes tomorrow for the Red Sox, and he just continues to be dynamic. But, for the Yankees, their offense is very good, and they're getting
their bullpen is very
good. Guys, they have a great back end of the bullpen. It's just about really that starting pitching. If it can stay consistent, keep getting good starts in a CC. If you can get Pineda to keep doing what he's doing, because he's just the guy that's been so up and down in his career, that the Yankees really, you know, they're a team that will be a big threat if they can keep this up in the American League East.
Yeah, Yankees and Red Sox, interesting note, the last 166 games, a little more than a season worth of baseball, 83-83, 42-42 at Fenway, 42-42 at Yankee Stadium, 41-41 at Fenway. An interesting note there, how close that those two teams have been. Now in the National League East, Washington's starting to do what we expected Washington to do over the last couple of years. Bryce Harper has been very hot. They've got the pitching. They're 14-6, and they're pulling away. And the Mets are going to be playing Atlanta in a series here. They got rained out last night as well. But They're battling at the bottom of the division. Now, Atlanta, everybody expected them to be there, but the way they're gotten themselves there, they opened up, you know, losing six of the first seven games. They won five straight to get to 500. Now they lost six straight. I mean, they're all over the place, but the Mets aren't supposed to be down there with that kind of pitching. How long could a Mets stay, you know, three games under 500 with that kind of staff?
Yeah, the Mets right now, and we've been waiting for it all year, it seems like one of those pitchers that, you know, Syndergaard got pushed back to tomorrow. That, and again, that's no big deal, get pushed back. Even DeGrom got pushed back this past weekend, and he ended up losing. They got swept at home by the Nationals this past weekend. That these guys are really, really talented, but can they hold up? And I kind of feel like this is happening every year at the Mets, that they have – four or five great pitchers. Matt Harvey gets hurt like he did last year. He was terrible. DeGrom could be out for a while. Syndergaard can be out for a while. That's the risk you're taking with this team. And I'm not saying, like, you know, you don't have any of these guys in rotation. You have to, but that's the big concern. And when you look at, like, Washington, you know Max Scherzer is always going to be out there. Strasburg, you know that he's up and down. Sometimes he ends up getting these injuries, but when he's good, he's good. And with this New York Mets team, Cespedes has been banged up. I don't know how much I really love that offense either. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of the problem with, you know, what's going on with the Mets so far and why they've struggled. They had a couple tough losses to the Marlins down here a few weeks ago, earlier this month. So, again, very early, but Washington with the way they're playing, and you mentioned Bryce Harper putting up great numbers, that when he puts up those kind of numbers, that's a very scary Washington team.
I used to make the case when I was in Florida for the Marlins to go to the American League East and the Tampa Bay Rays to go to the National League East. Well, actually, my case was for the Tampa Bay Rays to go to Nashville and then go to the National League East and then the Marlins to go to the American League East. So now you got Donnie Baseball that is managing the Marlins, and my boy Derek Jeter, along with Jeb Bush, are going to be the owners of the Marlins. This is fantastic news, to be honest. I think this is really, really cool. I think this is going to be a tremendous thing. Tell me about the excitement around Miami, about the thoughts of, you know, getting Jeffrey Loria out of there and having, you know, Derek Jeter and Jeb Bush as the owners of that team.
Well, assuming this whole thing, you know, goes through, I think the number one thing, the excitement level, is having Jeffrey Loria out. I think it's more of the excitement of Jeffrey Loria not being there as opposed to Derek Jeter and Jeb Bush being there, just because Jeffrey Loria is number one target as far as Miami sports fans, who they hate the most, more than Stephen Ross, more than anybody in this. And Stephen Ross, people can't really hate anymore, the Dolphins owner, because he helped fund this this new state, or the stadium renovations there at Hard Rock Stadium. I forget the name of it for all these years, Hard Rock Stadium. But with Jeffrey Loria, because he is, I hate putting it this way, Tom, he's like an art jerk. That's what he is. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that made all his money off of art, and he just seems very standoffish, and he's gone through these managers where it didn't work out with Joe Girardi before he went to the Yankees, and Freddie Gonzalez and all these other guys where it just didn't work. And it's like, maybe you're the problem and not these managers, where they were faring well, and yet you had a problem with them. And yes, he did, I guess, I would say deliver a World Series championship in 03. That was more of Jack McKeon and Josh Beckett and Dontrelle Willis. But he was there, and everyone can always say, well, he was the owner of one of the championships. Big deal. So Wayne Huizenga was the owner the first time around. Who cares, you know,
right, against
the Indians back in 97. But I think people are excited because Derek Jeter is a big name, obviously, and Jeb, because he was the governor of Florida. And you saw where Jeb's brother was an owner in Major League Baseball, ended up being the president. So we'll see if that's the case with Jeb down the line. But there's excitement simply because it's just not Jeffrey Loria as the owner. And hopefully things will change and people will have a little more excitement for Marlins baseball.
And they're playing decent ball. I mean, they're 10-8. You know, they're the ones that are in second place in the division. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be very interesting to see. My thing is this. I could rally behind the Marlins a little bit. I'd be honest with you. With Jeets being there, that's a game changer for me. Having said that, I can't sit with that logo, man. I want them back in pinstripes. I want them back with the, with the, with the fish on there. I know they're not going to have it. They're not going to be the Florida Marlins, so you can't have the F anymore. But maybe there's some kind of a way we can get them back in teal and black and get out of these rainbow colors or whatever they're wearing. And, you know, the Miami Sound Machine uniform that they got on. I mean, we got to get them back into Craig Council gear, man. Put them back into pinstripes, a vest, something, because I don't think I can get with this gear. What do you think?
Well, two things on that. Number one, I was with you when they first changed the logo, had the entire just name change. After a while and watching it, I don't mind them anymore. I really don't. I feel like it's a little more modern. The teal feels too 90s to me. In the 90s, it was great, and a lot of teams were starting to get that teal or aqua or any of those kind of like colors as their as the part of their logo, where I kind of feel like, yeah, you're going back to like Charlie Huff. Like, you're going back to Brett Barber. You're going back like to the way old days. And I think we need a bit of an update with it. And I think that after a while, I'm okay with it.
Really? Well, see, I'm still not that. I mean, look, you know, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Cardinals, they haven't changed their gear. They don't look like 90s. They look like the 40s or the 50s.
No, exactly.
You know, but, yeah, all right. Well, maybe we'll see. Because I can't, I'll hopefully, I just, the one thing I don't want to have happen is have Jeet show up in the first row sitting next to the dugout, and he's wearing a Miami hat. You know, he's still got to wear the interlocking NY. Can he do that? You think it'll be all right if he wears the Yankee hat in a Marlins game?
I will say this in all seriousness, that look at all these former players that have been owners. And
yeah.
I'm just saying, and I know that he's probably not going to be running things day to day, but yeah. You look at Michael Jordan in Charlotte and how great he was as a player, but the Hornets, the Bobcats, the Hornets have not really gone to that next level. I mean, we've seen celebrities get in as owners. We saw Usher. We've seen Jay-Z and all this. And that's where I'm kind of like, yeah, it's a name, but what's he really going to do?
Sell a lot of jerseys that say Jeter on the back that are Miami number two jerseys with Jeter on the back.
I'm telling you, or be an assistant with Mattingly or do something to at least get people out there to really – care about.
Well, the
I mean,
key,
they were talking about, you know, the rumor was for a while, oh, would they get A-Rod back, since A-Rod's from Miami, and obviously he's done with his career, he's over the hill, but, you know, I was always down with that. I was just saying, bring him here, why not? You know, bring him here for the end of his career. I mean, Jeter's not going to play anymore, but, you know, if you had, like, those guys here playing, I'd go out and see that.
You know, I think A-Rod could manage that team someday. I really do. I mean, I think he could. Now, I love Donnie Baseball, and I think Mattingly will do a really nice job. The
coach.
Key... The key is going to be who ends up the go from Barry Bonds to A-Rod. That would be good. The key is who will end up being the baseball man, like you say, because it's not Jeter's not down with the everyday, all of that kind of stuff. They're going to have to make sure they got the right guy in there pulling the trigger as the baseball guy, you know, the GM type guy, and you know, whether or not they got that guy now or not, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, hopefully it all works out. They just get Jeffrey Loria out, because Jeffrey Loria basically swindled the city officials into getting the stadium. It's a nice stadium. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's the site of the old Orange Bowl, but still, you know, he made the city pay for it. And, you know, I didn't really think that the Marlins were that big of a deal to get their own stadium. I really didn't.
Do they still have
attendance?
You know, do they still have fish?
The Dolphins were playing. So I don't think it's easy to get to. It's not as easy to get to as it is to get to Hard Rock Stadium. So. I think that the stadium was a bit of a waste. I mean, it's nice, but I think it was a waste. They're going to have the All-Star game this year in July there. But, I don't know, Loria was the one that he got over on them.
Nah, you needed a –
I think we're done with them.
You needed a roof. I mean, you needed to have something like that, because you can't go to a game. I mean, when I lived on the West Coast, you can't go over there and go to a game because, you know, it's a 50-50. It's going to be a rainout every night. And it was when it wasn't raining, it was miserable. So you needed to have the roof. I don't have a problem with the stadium. It's just they got to, you know, put better product on the field in the stadium, and they'll be fine. They still got fish tanks behind the in the wall there behind the home plate.
I think so. And they got that silly thing in center field.
Yeah,
that's
goofy. That thing looks stupid. Somebody needs to tear that. They burn that thing down. That's bad. So I'm not advocating arson. I'm just saying that's a stupid looking deal. All right, man. Appreciate you as always, and we'll look forward to getting together next week.
All right, Tom. Thank you. See you.
When we return, it's that time. That's right. Preds are in St. Louis. They'll be taking on the St. Louis Blues. It's round two. We have had Crazy Charlie as our Predators correspondent. I got rid of all my guys. I had good guys. I had good guys, but we're using Crazy Charlie now because the team is, you know, they haven't lost a game yet in the playoffs. So Crazy Charlie Saunier from Predneck Nation Radio is coming up next right here on 730 1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op. WUMP.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, your small business source in Alabama. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Alabama softball scored early and often Tuesday night against Samford as a pair of home runs in the first two innings gave the Crimson Tide a sizable lead in what would be an eventual 8-1 road victory. Alabama, which is now 38-11 on the year, scored 8 runs on 8 hits, with 6 coming off of a pair of 3-run homers by Reagan Dykes and Bailey Hemphill. Hemphill was 2-for-3, batting third of the order, as were Alyssa Brown and Chandler Dare in the 1-2 spots, giving the top 3 in the order a combined 6-for-9 day at the plate with 6 runs scored. Maddie Moore earned the complete game win in the circle, holding Samford to just 1 run on 2 hits. Next up, Alabama continues SEC play with a 3-game series against Ole Miss in Oxford. That series starts on Saturday. I'll have more in a moment.
The annual income of sole proprietorships in Alabama totaled over $14 billion last year. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov to learn more about Alabama's Small Business Commission and get resources for starting your own business. AtlasAlabama.gov, we're here to help. 96.8% of Alabama employers are small business owners. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov for free tools and resources to help you start your small business today. AtlasAlabama.gov, brought to you by the Alabama Small Business Commission.
Both Cody Henry and Chandler Taylor slugged home runs for Alabama on Tuesday night, but it wasn't enough as the Crimson Tide baseball team dropped an 11-8 decision to the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. The Crimson Tide will play host to 15th-ranked LSU this weekend. That SEC series starts on Thursday night. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Today I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself in a court of law. It's important to wear a fancy suit. That way, if they ask for evidence, you can point to it and say, Exhibit A.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you, you could be headed for trouble.
If you're backed into a corner, throw out a few objections. Works every time.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association.
Napa Know How.
Tooling around the yard on a riding mower isn't just yard time. That's listen to the game time, enjoy the great outdoors time, or maybe just think about absolutely nothing time. Unless you've got a dead battery, that's no fun time. So head to Napa, where lawn and garden batteries are as low as $21.99 with exchange. That's $21.99, just in time for mowing time. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 4/30/17.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back with a fresh young team and a bright future that starts right now.
High fly to left field and deep. Retreating is Grossman at the wall. That ball is gone. Freddie Freeman with a two-run game-tying home run here in the third inning.
tonight. The Braves' road swing continues with a big division showdown at Citi Field as the Braves take on the New York Mets. Braves Radio goes on the air at 5:55 on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Brought to you by Kubota. He's the neighbor with the orange zero turn. He mows, maintains, shapes, and perfects. He takes pride in himself and this place he calls home. This is why he does it. Kubota. Find your local Kubota dealer at alabamakubotadealers.com.
Increasingly cloudy tonight. Thunderstorms arrive after midnight. Those storms could be strong to severe. The low at 62. Tomorrow, storms ending early in the day, becoming partly sunny. The high 75. Very warm on Friday. Partly sunny. A small chance of an afternoon storm. The high 88. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Hey, it's our dime. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling off on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side.
Finally, the NHL playoffs get going again tonight. NBC Sports Network kicked things off with the Predators and the Blues. Follow that one up with Ducks and Oil. I'll be quite honest with you, I'll be watching both of those games, somehow figuring out how do I mix in Yankees and Red Sox. May have to drop in on the Mets and the Braves for a second. A little bit of the Celtics and the Bulls. It's a crazy night for sports. I know the one guy will be locked in, and that's Prednik Nation Radio's Crazy Charlie Sonia. And we got to keep having him on. I mean, first of all, he's been stirring. He's the stick that stirs the drink. But he's the Preds haven't lost a game yet. And while he's been coming on with us, so here he is again, Crazy Charlie. Charlie, welcome back. How are you, man?
Timmy, I can't be a disturber if my numbers and my facts are backing me up, and I've been right. You're exactly spot on. Preds 4-0 so far in the playoffs, dropping the puck here in just about 2.5 hours on round two, right up there in the St. Louis.
Yeah, and while nobody predicted a sweep, I mean, you predicted they'd win. The Puck Daddy predicted that they would win, but nobody predicted that it would go this way, and now they tee it up against a St. Louis team. By the way, I don't know if you saw this or not. Did you see that the Preds are favored? And the Vegas numbers came out. The Preds are like -115. They're a slight favorite in this series. Did that make sense to you with a St. Louis Blues team that finished the season on like a 19-3 run?
Hey, Timmy, you've seen how them buildings out in Vegas look, right? All tall, shiny. They got sharks inside the lobby, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason. Those guys know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. And the St. Louis Blues, they're presenting some fake gold to you right here. They got some false goods for you. And I know that they've been the best defensive team in the NHL since the coaching change. They've only given up 60 goals in their last 32. That equals out to 1.88 a game. And they've had the best penalty kill in the NHL in that stretch of time as well. But what I saw in the first round was not as dominant a series for the St. Louis Blues as a 4-1 series victory would indicate over the Minnesota Wild. The Nashville Predators have more speed and more offense, and with the system that they played against Chicago, they can absolutely stifle what Blues offense attack that there is, because the St. Louis Blues aren't a puck possession team. They're a chip and chase, a dump and go get it kind of team, and if the Predators can handle that and limit their opportunities in that zone entry, then the Predators are going to be able to control this gameplay as well with their puck possession game.
How do they handle Vladimir Tarasenko? I mean, this cat's got like 22 points in 24 games against the Preds. He just wears them out, 10 goals and 12 assists. I mean, what do they do to try and keep this guy under control?
I think what you just said is exactly the way you do it. Try and keep him under control. Tom, you and I were standing there at Bridgestone Arena the first night Vladimir Tarasenko took the ice for the St. Louis Blues as a rookie. Mm-hmm. He had 2 goals in that game, and we both looked at each other and went, uh-oh, and also wow at the same time. And that's exactly what that guy presents for the Predators. He is a challenge in every way, shape, and form. a heavy shot, a good skater, and a pure natural NHL scorer. I believe he's going to get his in this series, but you got to limit the damage. If only one of the St. Louis Blues is a sniper, let him get his and then limit everybody else to nothing, and then you're sitting just like you were with Patrick Kane in the first round, who is also one of the most dynamic offensive threats in the NHL. That's how I deal with Tarasenko. Just try to limit the damage.
Well, the thing, too, with the Preds has been they've gotten so much balanced scoring. I mean, you know, they didn't have one guy lead them. I think they had five or six guys that had multiple goals in just a little four-game series in the sweep against the Blackhawks. And I think that has to continue, and it sure would be nice to see Colin Wilson in there. What are you hearing about that? Is he good to go or what?
Colin Wilson skated the other day, saw him, he was looking good, taking contact in practice, Tom, and you know what that usually indicates and what that means. Mm-hmm. Also smiling, and often you know that means he's ready to get back in there. I suspect he's going to be back in the lineup tonight. As far as the other injuries go, we're not sure about Craig Smith at this time. Possibly a little bit of gamesmanship, but he has not skated as far as I know, so we'll see. But I do believe Wilson's back in the lineup, and you mentioned balanced scoring, Tom. There's only four Predators on the roster that do not have a point in the playoffs to this point, and that is only four games in. Even Harry Zolnarchuk has a goal in the first round of the series. Kevin Fiala has two, Roman Josi with two, Sissons with two. You mentioned it, depth scoring critical. When you can roll all four lines with confidence, that is the key to winning the Stanley Cup. That is what the rosters of the teams the last few years that have made it all the way through, they've had a dominant four lines that they can rely on, put out there and roll at any point in time. Now, how does Coach Laviolette make adjustments for the different matchup? Not sure. Possibly an injection of a little bit more toughness, but I think he's going to go with the same lineup that got him to the second round.
Who doesn't have a goal is PK Subban, and I got to be honest with you, I'm still not impressed. I mean, there's some things that he does that are nice. Certainly, there's no question about it. It's a big money guy. I'd like to trade long term. Shea Weber had an excellent regular season, but Shea Weber's home and PK Subban is still playing. I get that. Maybe they could bring Shea in and have him drop the puck or something like that. No, that probably wouldn't be right. But do they need to get more out of PK Subban from an offensive standpoint? He's not the best defensive defenseman. Does he need to get involved a little bit more on a power play or something and get some points out of this guy?
Hey, dog. PK Subban's 4-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I absolutely get what you're saying. Do you need more offensive contribution? I would like to see it coming. I'd like to see it on the power play. Josi, Ellis are going to give you some points throughout the series. Ellis has one heck of a shot from out there at the blue line, and we've all seen what a smooth criminal Roman Josi is. He can get in there and get around the net and carry the puck end-to-end with the best of them in the league right now. So I agree with you. I'd like to see Subban contribute a little bit more on the offensive side, and against the best penalty kill in the NHL, this is the time for PK Subban to rise up and show that he is a premier superstar offensive defenseman in the league. He's been an all-star, and there's a reason why. He usually shines on the big stage. Good defensive effort from him in the first round. He did play well, but he put a lot of hits, 13 hits in four games, and he was also averaging 25 minutes a night. So with the Preds only giving up three goals in the entire first round, I'd say he did his job, but I would like to see him step up and put a couple more points on the board. They're going to need him against the St. Louis Blues, who are a very, very tough, stifling defensive team.
Crazy Charlie Saunier from the Prednik Nation radio show joining us here. All right. Now, the other guy that you know was out of his mind was Pekka Rinne. He didn't have to be out of his mind because they outscored the Blackhawks 13-3. I mean, it could have been 13-5. It would have been okay. But I think he got in their head. I think he had to trowel out. He had to get his Masons Union card. He was building that brick wall. And I think that really messed with the minds of, the Chicago Blackhawks. And now they get like a month off in between series and they'll go again tonight. You know, how important is it for Pex to be Pex early on? Jake Allen has been very good, but, how important is for the now 35-year-old Pekka Rinne? It seems like 5 minutes ago, we had him in the studio with us as a fresh-faced kid. But now, you know, how important is it for him to be out of his mind, you know, in this series?
Well, familiarity won't be an issue for Pekka Rinne. He has started against the St. Louis Blues 39 times in his career already, Tom. And this, of course, is the first time these two franchises have ever met in the playoffs. So all of those regular season games, Jake Allen, 10 starts against the Predators, 4 of those came this season. For Pekka Rinne, I think he just needs to continue to play well. We saw with the lighter workload in the regular season because of the emergence of Soros that he had had in several years that benefited him. The time off between the end of the regular season and the first round didn't seem to slow Pekka-Rinne down. Very good in the first round. And I don't think that it's going to bother him too much having these extra couple of days off. It's been all business-like around the team ever since they won Game 4 against the Blackhawks. Pekka-Rinne taking the lead and talking to the media a lot the last couple of days. And he's talked about how the team has learned its lesson from last year, how it was important to close out the Blackhawks in the first round and get that rest for the second round. I think Pekka-Rinne is dialed in right now. We've seen him go for stretches before where he can win a player of the month in the NHL. And at this time of year, Tom, if a goaltender gets hot for a month, well, I think we all know what that could possibly mean. But for the Nashville Predators, only a quarter of the way there. No one seems satisfied. They've been to the second round three times before and have not made it out of the second round at any point. As a matter of fact, seven victories is the most they've ever achieved in the playoffs, and that was last year. And we all know it takes 16 over four rounds before you can have a parade. So, Tom, the Nashville Predators got a lot of work to do, and I think that they understand it, and I hope that they know it. They got the head coach that can lead them there. He's done it before. They've got good veteran leadership in Mike Fisher, and right now the way the team is playing with confidence, there's no eight seed right here. This is just the Nashville Predators going up against the St. Louis Blues.
Predators at Blues, 7 o'clock tonight. NBC Sports Network is where you'll find it. You also find it on, let's see, second round is on Fox Sports South and Fox Sports Tennessee, right? I mean, they have the second round as well?
No, local broadcasting rights expire.
They're done?
At the end of the first round of the playoffs.
Ooh.
So your national coverage is going to be the only place that you can get it. And that's a shame. I like local broadcasts, and I wish they would let the local broadcasters stick with it through the entirety of the playoffs. What a better way to reward the fan base after 80-plus games of a regular season plus a first round than to let the eventual champion hear their own home call throughout. I do wish that they would change and make that available for at least the home market. So you'll have to deal with NBC, and I'm sure NBC will be...
Their coverage has been outstanding.
An awful lot.
Yeah, no, their coverage.
Question, how did the Predators get here? And there'll be a lot of that, but I think that we all know, anybody who watched that first round knows exactly how the Preds got here.
Look, the NBC's coverage has been outstanding. I'll be honest with you, I watched the entire first round on the national feed, I'm not throwing shade at Willie and Stu. I can't even begin to tell you how much I miss Pete Weber and Crispy on those broadcasts, though. And this is why Petey went over to the radio side so he could continue to call the team. Although I feel like if he had stayed on the TV side, he could have just knocked those radio guys off when that time came. But he wanted to go do the radio. But, you know, I like Willie. Good guy. But,
you
know,
he's
I'm just saying, I mean, I like him. He's a baseball player from Vanderbilt. And Stu... You know, Stu, I don't know. I'm just.
You're getting me wound up on this.
I'm just saying, man.
There's a reason I'm not welcome anymore at the Big Tire Barn, right? You know that, right?
I thought it was because you fight with the fans from the other teams. I think you've been in more fights with Blues fans than any.
Oh. Because I fought with the two people you're talking about very
really?
Specifically.
Oh, yeah. I've taught you better than that. You don't get tied up with those guys in the market. I can say it over here. You don't sit right there in the market and say, you know, Willie sucks. No, you can't do that. Jeez.
Hey, listen, that's the last time Mr. Johnson had to suspend me, and that was for a month, so.
Wow.
I'll just leave it at that one, but I took them head on, and I've made my point very clear about how I feel about them. No, I don't like them as the local broadcasters, but I wish that the local audience who does like that broadcast would get a chance to enjoy it more. Pete Weber, Terry Crisp, for life, the only broadcasters the Predators should ever have.
Yeah. Now, am I lying, though? I think that you probably have been in fights with more Blues fans than even Blackhawk or Red Wing fans, right? I mean, that's a guy, if you're throwing down, I know you hate the Blues fans when they show up at the barn, right? I mean, you know,
There's a lot of trouble in the mid-2000s with bus trips from St. Louis where they would get liquored and fueled up the entire way to Nashville and just come in looking to brawl. And it got pretty nasty a few nights up there in the cheap seats, I'm not going to lie. And I got mixed up in it a couple of times, but the good thing is, I got the gift of gab, Mr. Tom, and I know how to talk my way out of things and be real polite when the heat comes. So you just put your head down and say yes, sir, and hopefully you haven't committed any transgressions that get you landed underneath the Bridgestone.
All right. Now, while I got you, just looking ahead, I know we're not supposed to look ahead, but just looking ahead, I know you're
look ahead. It's radio.
We can look ahead. It's radio. I know that you are a born and bred Ranger fan. You're a blue seat Ranger fan kind of guy. A lot of people would love to see, you know, the Washington Capitals and Barry Trotz. Everybody loves Barry Trotz. I mean, he left on wonderful terms. You know, they gave us the gift that keeps on giving, in Philip Forsberg. But they did get, you know, they did get Martin Erat out of that. So, you know, that I suppose was good to hold a jersey up for a minute. But for Crazy Charlie Sonnier, if it were Rangers and Predators in the cup, I mean, will your head explode? I mean, what happens to you if it's Rangers and Predators?
Kick my feet up and plan to go to a parade.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
So you wouldn't even have to declare.
Tickets at the Garden. I've already got my tickets taken care of here in Nashville. Just get my tickets for the Garden, bounce back and forth, hit all seven games, and go to whichever parade happens. Listen, if it did come to that scenario, Tom, in all seriousness, as an analyst and a lifetime New York Rangers fan, I would want the Nashville Predators to win the Stanley Cup. It would do so much for that franchise and this market. It's already well established now, 50 straight sellouts plus the first round of the playoffs and beyond. They're doing a great job filling the barn over there. It's a competitive team, as you can see, because we're still talking about them and they're still playing when the sun is out and nice and bright and warm. So it would mean an awful lot to this city to win its first ever professional sports championship and to have that first parade down Broadway to Riverfront Park and maybe even host that thing over across the river at the good old football stadium. But I think it would mean an awful lot for this team, this franchise, and this city. While the New York Rangers have been long-suffering, they do have four Stanley Cups, and New York wins championships all the time. And, well, let's face it, Predators, it would mean a whole lot more, I think. So that's where I really, honestly, Tom, as an analyst and as a person who's lived in both places and cheered for both franchises, I just think it would mean so much more. And also throw in the caveat, no Stanley Cup champion has ever relocated to another city.
All right, there you go. So we got that in the mix as well. They're not going anywhere anyway. 50 straight sellouts, you just said it.
No,
all right, man.
Solidified, business plan solidified, competitively solidified. Right now it's a very strong franchise, a very strong arena, and a vibrant downtown Nashville and a city that's very much the it city right now. So no problem.
And, hey,
right
this
now.
Isn't a fluke.
Sports franchise.
Yeah, this isn't a fluke. They're not going anywhere. I mean, they're going to be good for the next several years. All right, Charlie.
I think they're built.
Yeah,
all right,
we'll
do it again.
We'll probably do it, you know, Friday. We might do it Friday. We'll see.
Just call me whenever you need me.
All right, brother. I appreciate you.
I got to go cut the garlic. Not too thick, though. Not too thick, all right?
Don't get in a fight with anybody. And to put that garlic in a little olive oil and just make this just fry it up, and then you eat them like peanuts. You just eat it just like peanuts.
Not too thick, though, right?
No, not too thick. Don't cut them too thick. You don't want it too thick.
No, not too thick. All right.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
See ya.
Crazy Charlie. Let's get a break. It's a Tommy Ramp show. Every day for 5 years. I know what I got. 730-1039 Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP.
You know, there.
This is Jim Rome of the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by CDW, making IT solutions work for you. Bam! Home run number 11 for Eric Thames and drug test number 2. You know, that one's feeling a little less random than usual, but then again, Eric Thames keeps on swatting big flies, including a monster, another missile off of Reds pitching, his 8th of the season against them. And you keep offering him the cup, and my man will continue to fill it. Listen to Thames literally laugh off the insinuation that he is juiced.
So if people keep thinking I'm on stuff, like, I'll be here every day. I have lots of blood and urine, so.
I get that because of the roid era, it's kind of difficult to really trust anybody at any point. And Thames knows that's going to be the subtext behind every single question, but he's simply going to swat it away with a smile and not let that get in the way of the absolute beatdown that he's putting on the NL Central. I'm Jim Rome.
CDW and Microsoft brought IT orchestration to business with CDW pre-configuring the Microsoft Surface Book so our office can be productive and collaborate from anywhere, which is great, unless you're at your wedding.
You may now take the conference call.
Oh, sorry, just a second.
We'll wait.
Thanks. Oh, no, it's okay, I can talk. Productivity by Microsoft. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/Microsoft.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need some things for the office, but money is tight.
Well, now at Staples, we're celebrating HP Savings Month. You'll find big savings on great HP products all month long.
Save big on HP? How big?
Right now, get up to $100 off an HP OfficeJet Pro printer.
Whoa, mind blown.
You're the third one this week.
Now, during HP Savings Month at Staples, get up to $100 off an HP OfficeJet Pro printer. Its lightning-fast two-sided printing can save you both time and money.
Hence 429.17. See store or staples.com/HP month for details. Restrictions may apply.
That we
the only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Summer is coming, and Bankston Motorhomes has the largest selection of family-sized RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
Make this a summer to remember with a new travel trailer like the Aspen Trail 2810 BHS for only $179 per month with 10% down. This dual-entry trailer sleeps 10 with corner double bunks and a front queen bedroom. There's plenty of space with a slide-out dinette and sofa area, full kitchen, plus entertainment center. In addition, this model has a full bath with an outside entrance for extra convenience.
The only way to go.
Bankston has the largest selection in the Southeast. Learn more about the Aspen Trail 2810 BHS for only $179 per month and low 6.5% APR with approved credit online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Five locations are at BankstonMotorhomes.com.
Do shine. Do love. This Mother's Day, the gift of Pandora from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, lets you do it all for mom. Stop in between April 27th and April 30th, and you'll receive a free Pandora jewelry box with your Pandora purchase of $125 or more. Inscribed, always my mother, forever my friend. This jewelry box is the gift mom will treasure forever. Do love this Mother's Day. That's why he went to Jared. While supplies last.
Stop into Lowe's where you'll find big savings on those projects popping up on your to-do list. Grow a happy and healthy lawn with 20% off all Stay Green fertilizer and grass seed. Plus, get cooking with 25% off all Charbroil commercial and signature series gas grills. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Stay Green offer valid 426 through 58. Grill offer valid 426 through 51. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Good job by Crazy Charlie.
Me and Dale were singing, Little Runaway.
Updating the poll question, we're asking at the Twitter feed whether or not you prefer a weekend of great interconference college football or rivalry weekend. 63% of you are responding that you would take the rivalries. You can vote for another half an hour or so on that deal. And, this came from article that I read, which was a well-written article, and a college football commentator, though, selecting week three as the best week of college football this upcoming season because of interconference games like Texas and USC at the LA Coliseum and Florida State, Miami in the ACC, Clemson and Louisville in the ACC, Tennessee and Florida in the SEC East and so on, Wisconsin at BYU, LSU at Mississippi State, could be a big game as well. He went with that as being the number one week of the season. He had week one, which is loaded with big inter conference games, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Florida, Michigan, Alabama, Florida State, and so on, as being the third best week of the season, and the fourth best week of the season is the last week of the season. Rivalry weekend. I'll take rivalry. If you told me I could have only one or the other, give me rivalry weekend on campus any day of the week. I'll give up that first week and take rivalry. That's the best week of the season as far as I'm concerned. 63% of you agree. Open lines when we return. Get ready to make your picks for the NFL draft right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care. It's now time for Time to Kill with Arky Shea.
A lot of conservative garbage coming out of people's mouths today about the ESPN layoffs. ESPN is losing as many as 10,000 subscribers a day, and some people would like to take this as a moment to push an agenda that ESPN's a little too liberal for people's likings. And oh yeah, that's why people are unsubscribing by the tens of thousands, when actually, that can't be real. Because let's be honest, where are your live sporting events? Where is Alabama, if not on CBS? Where is Auburn? Where are all your live games that you're watching anyway? It's on ESPN. The liberal garbage, as you like to call it, and I may not disagree, is on the morning shows. But you're not unsubscribing because of morning shows. You're not watching those shows anyway. As long as ESPN has live sporting events, they'll have your dollars.
Don't miss the Sports Flood with Arky Shea, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m., only on The Ump.
All right, Tide fans, listen up, because your next chance to hear Alabama baseball will be Thursday as the Tide come back home to Sewell Thomas Stadium to take on the LSU Tigers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m., all right here on The Ump. Roll Tide!
15 years in the making, Middle Tennessee's highly anticipated Lakefront Marina Resort community has arrived. Final release to the public. One day only, Saturday, May 6th. Call 256-270-1541 or visit TwinCreeksTFL.com now.
One of the things about the humidor is it's probably got the greatest variety of any tobacco shop in Huntsville.
I come down here because the variety of accessibility of the different types of cigars that they have.
Great selection of cigars, and they have the best selection of cigars around at a good price.
Buy it, smoke it here, hang out with the guys.
Great pipe selection, great tobacco selection. They do a great job of taking care of the customer, and that's what counts.
The Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. Now open Sundays, noon to 6.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100-plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talent. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talent. ZipRecruiter.com/talent.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway.
WUMP Madison. W28OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The